The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and issue number 96, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. This is a very special issue, special edition, whatever you want to call it. But in this issue, Dr. Joe drops in. Of course, my daughter Meg always joins us on the Harry Potters, but we were very lucky to get Dr. Joe to fly down to Texas and hang out with us and talk about Harry Potter and bring his expertise. So, without further ado, let's get into the store and you can listen to the Gang Talk Harry Potter. Hey, John, it's Monday morning. Are you excited for today?
I couldn't be more excited, DJ.
Or less.
If I tried. Or less. I'm just as excited as I need to be.
Exactly.
I'm the perfect amount of excited.
We told everybody on Thursday that this is supposed to be the biggest Brightside Chat ever.
That's what you promised.
That's what I promised. I'm hoping.
Hey, guys.
Oh, look who's here. Yep, Meg's here because it's a Harry Potter event, so we got Meg in the house. She made the trip down.
How's it going, Meg?
Yeah, all the way down to Texas again.
Boy, are her arms tired.
John,
I'm going to get all the miles off of that I possibly can.
Look at, I don't know about on your screen, but on my screen, John, you were looking right at Meg.
Oh, was
like,
I? Because I'm looking.
It was the Brady
like,
Bunch
across the room at my lightsaber. Actually,
it was the Brady Bunch.
Oh yeah.
And you're looking when you went to say hi to Meg. She was right to your right.
Oh, I'm actually reading Wikipedia.
Oh, that's funny.
About Harry Potter 6 and the Half-Blood Prince.
Yeah. You're doing your homework.
Doing my Cliff Notes.
Doing your homework.
Yep. In class.
It's
like the teacher's calling for the homework and I'm still writing.
Yeah. So. You're doing your homework in homeroom. So getting it done at the last second. We're waiting on one more.
Hello.
This is supposed to be. Oh, there he is.
There he is, right on time.
Speak of the devil. Look at that.
Almost as if on cue.
Dr. Joe.
How's it going,
Joe,
man?
It is official. It is official.
It's a party.
The most people that have ever been in Arkham Comics and Games.
John, take on, man.
Yeah. At one time, anyway.
Yeah, exactly. For everybody out there, don't panic. We are socially distancing here. We are all in.
I have my 10-foot pole from last week.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's not bring that out again.
Holding everybody at arm's length.
Quite the arm you got there.
Yeah.
Please don't go there. So this is official. It's officially the biggest Brightside Chat. We've never had four people on the show at once. Congratulations, guys. Dr. Joe, Meg, thank you for being part of Brightside history.
Congratulations to you.
Happy to be here.
We paid big money for these guests.
I know.
Wait, you're getting paid for this?
Pay me in Popeye's chicken.
Yes.
Now that we're all tired from patting each other on the back.
Oh, I'm not done yet. Dr. Joe, great show last week. Two great shows. By the time this airs, I know your next show is going to be awesome. How's your show going? Loving your show.
Oh, thank you.
How are you enjoying it?
I had a ball. Daredevil we did in the first week in Constantine, and that was a lot of fun. We had a lot of viewers, and it was just fun to talk comic books again, and very thankful to have been on your show the day before to talk it up a bit. I think it helped, and I know it helped, and it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was awesome. Thursday's at
8 o'clock. Yeah, loose 8.
A loose eight. Yep. So happy to have you guys here. What are the initials again?
TLDR. Too long.
Didn't read. On your Twitch.
On my
right?
Twitch. Yep. At @backcracker_Dr. Joe.
Check that out at 8 o'clock on Thursdays. Right before Cheers.
That's right.
Meg's like, what's Cheers?
Yeah. What's a Cheers?
No idea.
All right, little bit of housekeeping.
No idea.
What's that?
No idea.
Oh,
she doesn't know.
No, I actually.
What kind of father are you?
I tried to raise her right.
I know. Apparently, man. I don't think my kids know Cheers either, so I can't really say anything.
Unbelievable. All right, a little bit of housekeeping. Just the those covers from last week, the FOCs for today. We have the Nightwing one, the Joker
Nightwing War 74. Cover. Yeah, Alan Kwa.
That's my favorite one
really
from
good
the week.
Cover. Yep.
Punchline jumping through the air. Really nice cover. And the Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Joshua Middleton, 762, I think.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. Looking right at it. Nice cover.
Yeah, both of those were really good.
Yeah, those are cool. Really nice. Definitely check those out. So, are we ready, guys?
We're ready.
We're ready.
I guess we are. Look at that. All right. I'm going to play this trailer, and we will get going on this. This should be fun. This is, again, the biggest Bright Side chat ever. I'm going to keep saying that.
This place has known magic. Very dark. Very powerful. This time, I cannot hope to destroy it alone.
Times like these, dark times, it can bring people together.
Take my hand.
And they can tear them apart.
These girls, they're gonna kill me, Harry.
This year, Voldemort has chosen Draco Malfoy for a mission.
Evil will pass through. From their world into our own.
These are mad times we live in, mad!
And the darkest hour...
This is beyond anything I imagined.
...is upon us all.
In my life, I've seen things that are truly horrific. Now I know you will see worse. You're the chosen one, Harry.
You have to realize who you are.
Without you, we'd leave the fate of our world to chance. You have no choice.
Harry, no!
You must not fail. It's over.
From Warner Brothers Pictures.
Jenny! Marcus! Campos!
I have to do this.
Fight back! All right, this is an older movie. I think we can go spoilers the entire time. Because I don't think anybody's tuning
really?
In to see... Yeah.
You want to do that?
Yes, I do. First off, let's go around the room here and figure out who liked this. And I'll ask you, John, first.
Yeah.
Do you like the movie?
Of course. Yep.
Okay. Meg?
I love the movie.
You love this movie?
Yeah, I love this one.
Okay. Dr. Joe?
Tremendous.
DJ?
3-1.
Didn't like it, huh?
See, this is where it's going. So we're going around. I mean... John and I are late to the party on Harry Potter. We started this because we figured we would, because it's, you know, it is comic book store talk. It is an entity that in...
I mean, I sell the books.
Exactly. So yeah. It's something that we should do, but we weren't into it. So we started out on it and we figured, and I think John has really taken to it. Me, not so much. We have Meg here because she really, really likes it. And Dr. Joe, you're coming in as the book expert because you've read the books. You read this book recently. So you're going to be able to give us that perspective. And I think my role after 6 movies is this just doesn't grab me. I'm not saying they're bad movies. It just doesn't grab me. But how does this grab you guys?
I mean, why do you like cheeseburgers? I like them because I like them. I mean,
I read the books well before the movies came out. And so reading the books first was great because just like any other time when you read a book first and then the movie comes out, the book's always better, right? Because when you have a book, you can put as much information in there as you want and you can tell the story exactly how you want to tell it, whereas the movies, you've got to sort of condense it down. But this was just a story that when I read it, I was end of high school, beginning of college. It just, I read the books voraciously, loved them. And when the movies came out, I think I told you way back when you started this, hey, get through the first two movies because they're very childish. They're geared for children. And then book and movie 3, 4, 5, so on and so forth, you know, get exponentially better as they go on. And this is my favorite book and second favorite movie just because of the story it tells. And my guess, DJ, is that when you watch the two-parter and when it all comes full circle again, hopefully you'll say, oh, okay. And then if once you rewatch them again, I think you'll have a better appreciation for them that second time around.
Okay, let's go to Meg on that one because that's a great point because I am also the only one here that is still going. I haven't seen the other two. Everybody else here has seen all of them.
Yep.
Go to Meg because you were the first one to see them all out of me and John and you.
Yeah, I feel like once you see all of them, you'll be able to go back and see the little things you've missed. Like even in this one, we start to see, I feel like every podcast we do for this, we start to talk about things we that kind of connect that are like, oh, that's cool, that's surprising that right. connects. And you don't even really get it the first time you watch it because you haven't come full circle yet. But thinking of like the Horcruxes that we learn about in this movie, like that's something you're just finding out about now. They've been through all of the movies. They've spanned every single movie so far, and we didn't know that. And that's why when we did these podcasts, when we started these, I binged all the movies. Like when we first started these a year ago, I had done them all in like, I think, 2 weeks. It was all so fresh in my head. So to me, I was so excited to be like, oh, just wait, like you're going to see how it all connects. You're going to see how it comes through. I'd be like, oh, I can't wait till you see that part. I can't wait till you see these little things because they do all start to like intertwine and connect and you can build a bigger appreciation for everything going on. And you and John previously talked about like, oh, is this a standalone movie? Is it not? And I feel like I've kind of stuck to it as like, no, none of them really are because yes, you could just watch them as you could watch any movie. You could just jump in anywhere you want because you as a human have the ability to do that. It's not standalone because there are such little tiny details that just make the movie better once you understand it at the end. And I think that's why they're so timeless. I think they were built to be timeless.
Yeah, because that was actually going to be one of my comments too, because I know that we talked about when we talked about the last movie, I felt that it didn't really advance the story that much and it was kind of like a filler movie, per se, where this one is not. Like, this movie really advances the story, and it sets up the finale. A lot of stuff happened here. You know, you know where we're going in the final two movies. You know what the final mission is going to be, and I think this movie did a lot to really advance the story and set us up for the finale. So I thought this was one of the better movies as well.
I just, like I said, I'm just, maybe because I'm piecemealing it months apart, when they first came out, they came out.
Well, I mean, people saw them
years apart.
Yeah, years apart. If you hadn't read the books, you didn't know the story for 2 years until you got the next movie. So.
Right. But like Meg and I said the other night after we finished watching the movie, I was like, these are also for kids. I don't know. I made the point that
so when we ended the movie, I was super excited. I had a like, big smile on my face and I was like, what'd you think? Because I remember watching this movie. We watched the next two right after, like all in one night.
Yeah,
we watched all three because I was so hooked. You said that you didn't feel that way at all, that like after we finished this movie. we talked about how it is made for kids, even though like it gets older, like the books kind of grew with the population. Same with the movies grew with the population watching them, from kids to teens to like young adults. They're still made for kids in this fact that like this world is made for kids to be able to grasp and understand. And we talked about like the language of Harry Potter and how, Dad, you feel like you've been having trouble getting so into it to be like, to know all the different words and all the different, it is like learning a new language. And to really be into Harry Potter is learning a new language. And that's something that's a lot easier for kids to grasp and to get quick into than it is for an adult.
She just, Joe, Dr. Joe, did you think that, like, from reading the books first, did that help?
Well, so I think what it did was, you know, you're able to get more in depth with reading the books, and there's just so much more detail in there. Whereas watching the movies, you know, had I not read the books and watched the movies, I still think I would have enjoyed the movies very much, because I think there's a great story to be told there. I don't know. I think part of it is too, and it's not to call you guys old, but Meg and I are younger than you guys. Yeah. So when reading these books and watching these movies, we're obviously at a much different point, you know, in our lives. So I think it's able to grab and stick to us a little easier than for yourself. You know, John seems to enjoy them. And I think if you guys read the books too, I think just that level of appreciation would grow exponentially.
I think the books make it easier to learn the language too. I just started reading the books, Dr. Joe.
Yeah.
I read the first one last week and I'm on the second one now. And I've realized, I don't know if this continues through the whole series, but they like re-explain everything.
Yeah, there is a lot of that. Yeah.
The second book, it'll be like, Dumbledore, that's the headmaster of Hogwarts, blah, 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 like give you a little backstory. So
previously
you really
on,
like, yeah, so that's what it kind of feels like, which you don't really get that with the movies, because that's not cinematic to be like, and, to re-go over everything.
Right,
but.
And that's sort of how the first three books are, because those books came out in the late 90s, early 2000s, mm-hmm. and they really were, at the time, children's books. They were geared towards that, you know, late elementary, middle school age. And then I remember when the fourth book came out, it was like 2000, 2001. And that thing was, that was thick and big. And it was like, that was the first book when you start to read through them, Meg, that it really sort of ratchets everything up a notch. And I think what you'll enjoy is when you get to Order of the Phoenix. That movie stunk, if you ask me. Not my favorite movie of the series. And
really?
I get why you guys, you know, especially John, said it was more like a bridge movie, because that's kind of what it was. But the book, especially reading it, you know, a second and third time, you pick up so much more detail. Like you said earlier, like these Horcruxes are embedded throughout the movies, where they're really embedded throughout the books early on. And as you read it, you're going to and get through it. You just, holy smokes. And what the biggest difference in this particular movie versus the book is that this book was really a Voldemort origin story, which I think would have grabbed DJ a heck of a lot better than what they did in the movie. They only did a couple of quick little flashbacks in the movie, whereas the book, almost the entire thing is explaining the Horcruxes and telling that story of, we know how Harry Potter's origin started and where he is to now. This really gives you all of that Voldemort backstory. It was my favorite book, and I wish they had taken this movie and split into two, because then they really could have told a far better story for this particular movie.
So you think this one here should have been two movies as well?
Yeah.
Based off the book?
Based off the book, because they just left so much stuff out that they could have gotten into that Voldemort backstory that I think would have just, as Emeril Lagasse says, kick it up a notch.
All right, like, give me, what's an example? I mean, I know Meg wants to read them, but would it be too much of a spoiler to give away that stuff?
I mean, a little bit, you know, because if
no,
she,
it's okay.
So it just,
it's okay.
It just goes into, there's chapters dedicated to his youth, who his parents are, and it sort of helps shape, like, you get a better picture of why Voldemort is the way he is, and his lineage, and how it relates to the history of magic in the House of Slytherin, all these little things, just, you know, his dad and his mom and the hatred between those families, where his hatred of Muggles comes from, right, comes from his youth and his parents. It's so fascinating. I'm a sucker for a good origin story. This is sort of like, this book was sort of like what I think Lucas wanted to do with the prequels in Star Wars, right? And give you that origin of Darth Vader, right, through the young Anakin Skywalker. And this book just did a great job of that. And the movie, for me, felt just a little short of that, but was still an enjoyable movie nonetheless.
It sounds
like it. At least to me, the movie painted him that, like, he was just a bad seed. Yeah. And, like, he was always just a bad, like, even as a kid, it was just his nature. Yeah. But, like you said, you don't know how he was made, like, how he got there. And they never touch on that really in the movie that I recall.
A real nature versus nurture aspect going on here, and the way he was raised and who his family, you know, his family are. And it also gives you, you know, a great, just all these little details about, you know, why he chose, you know, why he did certain things. And when you get to the next movie, why he chose the Horcruxes that he chose, you get all of that in this book, and I wish it was in the movie, because it would have just been, I think, a next level movie had they done that.
Yeah, I liked the movie already, and I already wish it had, had that stuff in it, you know? Well, because I didn't even know, you don't know what you don't know, because I never read the book, so I didn't really miss that, but knowing that it's out there, now I wish it was there.
See, I think that's why I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why.
I mean, what the movie
did. I was missing something.
And again, you're probably just not going to. Like, I know.
No, yeah, I know.
What Dr. Joe, I think he said, but I think even after the last two movies, I just don't think it's going to be your thing. Like, six movies in, if you don't like it already.
True.
I don't know that the last two movies are going to turn you around. You may have an appreciation for them, but. Yeah. I just think you're not going to, you know,
I'm
like
not
them.
Excited about it, I should say. Yeah. It's not like I hate them.
Right.
You know, like, it's, to be honest with you, I was going to make my week easier for my home theater podcast. I was going to do this for the home theater podcast. And I started with my notes on some good home theater scenes, because these movies are spectacular for that.
They've got some good, they've got
all
some good
of them
scenes.
Are, right? But I couldn't, there's no way I could talk with passion about these.
Yeah.
You know, about this movie. I couldn't sit and go, this scene here was, I just couldn't do it. Because, and I'm sitting there watching the movie, and I'm actually a little disappointed, because I see how excited you guys get about it. I know, Dr. Joe, you were dying to come on one of these, and I'm like, I'm glad we got you. Meg, same thing. You guys love to talk about this stuff, and Meg's like, God, we gotta let, she wants to go down and watch it, and I'm just like, oh, Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's, like I said, it's not like I hate it, but it's, I don't have the passion that people have for it. And it's, I think part of it is, and I'm not even joking, I just don't think I'm that bright. I just don't see the stuff you guys see. And then that's why, like, when we do these things, I do have a different appreciation for the movie afterwards. I was like, oh, okay. Light shines on yonder rock.
But then I think that's where we're coming from, saying if you were to rewatch them.
Right.
Because I've rewatched all of them. John is on his second round of rewatching them.
This is my second time through. Yep.
Dr. Joe read the books, so you don't even need to rewatch them, but I'm sure you've rewatched them multiple times.
I sure have. Yeah, I rewatched it today, actually.
Yeah, so, and you just understand these things more. If it's you're like, this is your first instance with it, something that people are so obsessed with. Just like years ago when we talked about, like, girls coming into the comic book community and how, like, oh, is that intimidating or not? This is, like, one of those niche worlds that you're trying to come into, that you're, like, trying to force yourself into excitement for it that you don't feel yet, but maybe it'll come, maybe it won't, but you're just still getting into it. You don't even know how it ends. And, like, the people that are so in love with these things, they've read the books, they've watched the movies, they've gone to Universal and walked around in a wizard robe. Like, I don't expect you're going
We've
to want to do
them.
That. Yeah. Like, but do you know what I mean? You're still on that front end of the, you haven't even finished it yet. So you don't have the full view. that you're expecting to have that we have.
And my first appreciation was Universal. We tried these years ago with you guys. Yeah, we tried these with you guys years ago, and it didn't take for any of us, so we just didn't watch them as a family. But then when we went to Universal, remember the first year we couldn't find it. Have you been down there, Dr. Joe?
I have not.
And I know you haven't, right, John?
No, I haven't.
So you can actually walk through all of Universal, know that Harry Potter's world is there, and not find it.
It's kind of ironic, isn't it?
They don't have like a big "you are here" thing.
No.
Like, it's right.
No,
it's between the Walden books and the Orange Julius. It's not there.
No, yeah.
Okay.
No, like, you know whereabouts it is in the park. You could see it as you're walking
in.
But you have a map, but
you're
like,
a secret entrance, huh?
Yeah, just like in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. And you're like, you'll walk right in. The first year, I don't know why. Oh, it was raining the first year. That's what it was. It wasn't the greatest day. We were freezing cold.
It was freezing and raining. And Dad bought a jacket because it was like an official Universal jacket because it was so cold.
So
for like $8,000.
Yeah, exactly. I'm still paying that thing off.
No, it was still cold though. It was awful.
But we were wandering around. We saw people with the robes and the wands walking in main part of Universal, but so the second year when we were there and we literally stumbled into it, we're like, I think this is it. And we walked.
I don't even remember looking for it. I just remember all of a sudden we were walking and there were brick walls next to us. And then all of a sudden it was like, ooh, Wizarding World.
We're here.
Yeah. And the artwork that they put into this place was amazing because this day that we were there, it was actually fairly warm out. And when you went in, it felt cooler.
It felt like you were in London and like,
it felt like it was cloudy and everything, but you're still outside. But it's just the environment just felt so much cooler because of everything around you. And you feel like you're on the set. It's an amazing place to be as a Harry Potter fan. And we weren't Harry Potter fans at the time. And we just went through, went on all the rides in there and everything. It's an amazing place. And that's where I got the appreciation for it. I was like, wow, they put a lot of work into this. I mean, they nailed it. And then going through the movies, Meg and I go, yeah, we've been there. We've been there. We've been there. That's pretty cool to me. But I think you're right. It's like, you know, maybe once I get through them and I have a little bit more knowledge, better appreciation. But let's get to the movie, though. All right. Who wants to go? What's your favorite part? You guys loving this movie. So you got to have a favorite part.
I mean, I think the best scene is the scene in the cave towards the end where, you know, Harry and Dumbledore are trying to destroy the Horcrux and, you know, just the fire and the zombie fish mermaid guys or whatever's going on. Like, to me, I'm surprised for you that wouldn't have been like a scene for your podcast, you know, your home theater podcast, because that was a fantastic scene.
Yeah, it was.
So,
did you notice that when they did a Tom Riddle flashback to the orphanage, the first one, there was a picture of that cliff in his bedroom in the orphanage.
I didn't notice it.
Yeah. No. They kind of like focused on it. I realized it. I was like, oh, I wonder what that picture is. Cause I felt like they focused on it a little too long. And then obviously the end came with the cliff where they found the first Horcrux that they had tracked down. And I was like, oh yeah, that was in his bedroom as a child.
So in the book, that's actually a chapter. Where is a flesh? So
I figured.
So in the book, Dumbledore takes Harry to the Pensieve multiple times throughout the entire book, and so this is one of those parts where he takes Harry back when he's first at that orphanage, and it's like a class trip, not necessarily to the cave, but to an area by the cave. A young you know, Tom Riddle drags some kids down there and starts to torture them down there. And it's this whole scene. And so that is one of those. And for the movie, they put a picture of the cliff. But in the book, it's a memory that he was able to Dumbledore was able to extract of him going down there. So that's how they sort of figured out, Dumbledore figured out, we need to go here. I bet there's a Horcrux here because this, for some twisted reason, was a special place, you know, for Tom Riddle. And.
So twisted.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
he had a picture of the place he tortured other children in his bedroom.
It's like a trophy, like a serial killer.
That's so scary.
And I think it might have been a line in the movie, but it's definitely mentioned in the book where they talked about, like, there's this theme of collecting things in this movie, right? With, Slughorn and the Slug Club, you know, collecting students, you know, if you will. And this, this idea right. of these Horcruxes, these things that were very, very special to Voldemort. And, you know, this need for collecting things. And you get all the information, all those things in this book, which they just don't do in the movie. But that was one of those things that, It was an entire chapter, and it was just you're reading it, going, "Oh, holy smokes! Yeah, this dude's a little tapped, you know."
That's cool, though. That theme of collecting things. I didn't connect that watching the movie, but I can see it now.
How yeah, would, and you'll
how
pick
they
it up.
Kind of sprinkle that in there,
and you'll pick it up when you get to the book too. But yeah, this because they paid a lot of attention to it with Slughorn, but. All these little things, like at the end of the, towards the end, before they go to the cave, he shows him the ring. And the book tells you why that ring was important. You know, that ring was a family heirloom.
They said it was his mother's.
Yeah. And so it's, you know, they go into more detail. But, you know, the diary, what they were supposed to find in the cave, right? The locket, and all that. So yeah, just this idea of like John said, like a serial killer collecting his trophies. The parallels are right there.
And I feel like, if you had all those chapters to read, Dad, you would feel more like you understand what a Horcrux is, you know, rather than coming out of the movie and not being like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Because that's also, too, like, when they made these movies came out so far after the books. I mean, it was with the general assumption that a majority of the people going to see the movie had read the books and already known, right? And then they'll...
Or even the parents had read the
books.
Well,
you're right,
and then
exactly.
They take their kids
exactly.
And they explain it. I never read Lord of the Rings, but I went and saw all those movies with a buddy of mine that had read all the books, knew everything about, read The Hobbit, read everything. We went to midnight shows and then we'd spend like an hour or so afterwards talking about it. And he'd be like, what? And we did the whole kind of what we're doing here with you, Dr. Joe, were like, okay, the book and I know nothing. And then we learned and I had a blast doing that.
Yeah.
For some reason with this one, maybe it's because it's like you said, Meg, earlier, it's like I'm coming into it, but there's a whole world already there.
Yeah.
You know, there's 8 movies and I'm starting in here and I'm like, it's very overwhelming. Much, you know, great analogy, Meg, you know, a girl going into a comic book store, but it is, it's overwhelming. I'm not afraid of these Harry Potter people, but.
But the bar set so high for you going into it, right?
Yeah.
And so you not meeting that bar that.
Yeah.
I can see why.
Well, it's frustrating. You're like, what am I missing?
You do love, you mentioned it twice when we watched it, you still love Alan Rickman.
Oh, I do.
See,
I love him, period.
He would just go, I love him.
And so,
while we were watching the movie, he'd just go, I love him.
It's not Snape, it's Alan Rickman.
Right.
Yeah, but he loves how he portrays the character.
So yeah. There's a scene with him, right, guys, in the next movie that happens. And that's when I said, I wonder if when DJ watches the last movie, he might change for that one scene. Because it is.
Well,
awesome.
You know what's funny? Here's something that I picked up listening to you, Dr. Joe, in your debate that you had on Change My Mind podcast, where you guys were talking about Harry Potter. And didn't somebody mention that, like, because you were talking spoilers, I don't really care, but something about, like, doesn't Snape do, like, you think he's a bad guy, but then he does a flip?
So
is that what you're talking?
Yeah.
Was it him?
So without going into specifics, there is a scene. And it's everything that has built up. It is in one scene, it encapsulates everything that's happened from the first page of book one to that point now. And it flips everything that you thought you knew. It just flips it around.
But I personally feel like he's not that bad of a person. Like, I feel like he's conflicted right now.
Well, the whole time you haven't known, right?
Right.
Like, right.
Having not read the books, just watching the movies, like, you don't know anything about him. Like, you think you know one thing, and then the next movie you think it's something else, and now you think it's something else. So he's always been that guy that you really couldn't figure out.
Right.
Right. And even having that spoiler, that part that spoiled for you a bit, DJ, I think when you actually watch the scene and everything, you're going to be like, whoa, okay, all right. And it's I don't know. Maybe I'm just being hopeful that you'll turn around on this.
I'm hopeful.
But
I turn around.
Because I still gotta watch two more of these, so I hope I like them.
I know. The hype on them is, and then what the whole, there's Fantastical Beasts as well, right? Those movies?
Yeah, now I haven't watched any of those.
I watched the first one. I haven't
heard
watched
not
the
good
second.
Things about them.
The first one was fine. I haven't watched the second one yet.
I watched the second half of the second one. That's it.
Oh, so
it was
you
on
came
TV.
Right at the beginning.
Yeah. So the character.
Well, she started with the play.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, I started
I
Harry Potter with the play.
I watched them in reverse order.
Yeah, really, yeah. I did. I
Benjamin buttoned it.
went to Universal first, then watched the Harry Potter play. Yeah, right. I'm just all out of order. Maybe that's how you have to approach
spoiler.
It.
Yeah, full spoiler from the end to the beginning.
Yeah.
Full spoiler, but I still was shocked every right. new movie. I had seen the play.
That's more because you're blonde.
I had seen the play, and when you go to see the play, they give you the playwright, and it has like a synopsis of every single movie in it or book. Because they expect that like maybe somebody's coming in and hasn't seen them. So it goes through, it has like a paragraph about just explaining every book really fast, the important parts that you'll need to know for the play. I read those, watched the play, loved the play, really thought I understood it, and then watched all the movies and was entirely surprised every time I watched a movie that I had already read everything. And I knew the ending of Harry Potter because of the play, but I still was surprised. It's great every time. That's maybe that's why I like it so much. Yeah.
Well, we're still talking about favorite scenes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I think I'm the only one that's gone. So,
So I would think I'm with John. Where my favorite scene is, it's just sort of that last chunk of the movie, right? Going into the cave. I would actually backtrack it a little bit right before that. I love when Harry takes the potion, the good luck potion, and he gets that memory from Slughorn. I love that scene where they're sort of eulogizing the spider and he's the one giving the eulogy.
Right.
But yeah. But from that point on is really the best part of the movie. It's a lot of setup, you know, beforehand, but that's the action. That's the, you know, the climax of the movie there. So that whole scene with them going into the cave and do as I say, don't stray, and then, you know, leading up to that ending. Like, I think, you know, to me, the movie did a good job, you know, at the ending. It was just one of those things, when you read it for the first time, your jaw just bleeping dropped to the floor. What? And I think the movie captured that, you know, pretty well, but I would agree, that whole part of the movie is my favorite.
Cool. Meg, what was your favorite?
Hard.
I liked it. I'll
track back a little.
It's the opposite of me. It's a blur.
Because I like the parts of this movie that are comical, because I feel like sometimes Harry Potter can get really dark, but we like actually laughed when we were watching this one. One of those scenes was when Harry drank the good luck potion, because just the way he was acting was so, like, it was great. It was so funny. The way he responded to people.
That was great. Yeah.
Yeah. You liked when the professor was like, Harry, I can't let, or he goes, Harry. And he goes, Professor.
Yeah.
Just the way he came back at him, which you never expect him to do. But also Ron with the love potion.
Oh.
Ron was great in this movie.
Yeah. I loved, Dad, you didn't like him at all.
There's something about Ron that I'm like, sometimes he's like, he's like Ralph Malph. He's like the Ralph Malph of
another
Harry
one that
Potter.
Meg doesn't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
What's a Ralph Malph?
Sounds like a Muppet. Yeah, no, it's a character from Happy Days, Meg. If you ever see, I'll put it on for you. We have Happy Days on one of the streaming services.
Okay.
And when you see Ralph Malph, you'll be like, that's him. It's no doubt about it. He's just the comic relief, the bumbling idiot or whatever. It's just, that's how he comes off to me. And it's sometimes it just gets a bit too much for me with him.
Mm-hmm.
But
I did think it was interesting. I thought it was interesting that the professor was offering, when Ron didn't feel well after they like reversed the love potion, and the professor offered him like, I have butterbeer, I have wine, I have mead, and he was like, that to me stood out. I was like, why are we giving this to children?
Right, he's like 15.
Yeah. But fun fact, mead is still a thing, if anybody didn't know.
I have a bottle of it upstairs, actually.
Oh, that's so funny. Really?
There's a meadery in Arlington or Meffa or somewhere right around here. And
what is it?
It's just like really, really sweet honey wine. Yeah.
It's wine made from honey instead of grapes.
I didn't know you could ferment honey.
Yeah. I don't, it's, ferment anything. It used to be... It used to be a poor, it used to be like the poor person's drink because grapes were really coveted and expensive. So like poor people used to drink mead. So then it kind of fizzled out when things became industrialized and wine was made cheaper.
I mean, someone but looked at rice.
He offered it to.
Yeah.
Yeah. He offered it. He
spoken
offered
like
wrong.
A true drinker, Dr. Joe. You got your idle hands hat on. And you're saying, you can ferment anything.
Yeah.
I'm in the process of trying.
You can make wine in your toilet in prison, so you can ferment anything.
Why do you know that?
Because I've seen The Wire.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I haven't. I just know that. But
from John's prison stint.
That's right. Yeah. I did hard time. Don't you remember? We didn't talk for almost 20 years. Where did you think I was?
We also haven't been allowed to leave the house, so, you know.
Right.
Right.
Right. I'm making it in my toilet now.
Oh, man. All right. This podcast has gone off the rails.
Yes. I enjoyed the funny scenes. I did, like, they're not my favorite, but I figured I would give them a mention because I did think it was a twist up of this.
Was it Cormac there at Slughorn's party where he ate the horse balls and then vomited all over Snape's shoes?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. That was funny,
he just
too.
Just earned him, what, a detention or whatever he said?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember.
That wasn't what kind of balls was it? I don't think that's what they were. That's just what Harry said.
Yeah,
right?
Some sort of balls he said. But that was, the look on his face and then the vomit. It was priceless.
Yeah. I liked the scene. I don't know if it was my favorite scene, but I liked the scene when Harry gave, what's his name? They thought it was the potion.
Oh, when he, Ron.
They gave him.
Ron.
Yeah. When he gave Ron the, you know, and right away when he's giving it to him, like, that's not it. And it's just, and Ron goes out and has the game of his life because he thinks he has the lucky potion or whatever. What I liked about that is I thought that was a great message for kids too. You know, that's one of those things that as a parent, you're taking your kid to these movies and it'd be like, you know, you could have that conversation with your kid about that. Like it's mind over matter or the placebo effect or, you know, it's like you don't need to, you know, you can create your own luck or whatever, but it's little things like that that I think were pretty cool in this movie too. Same with in every movie, there's always that, maybe it's just me, but that same, like, I think Dr. Joe, you mentioned it about the spider dying.
Yeah.
And there's always like, they'll take this gross creature, but then they'll give it, and this one was actually dead. And they actually pull at the heartstrings on you.
Yep.
Which I thought was pretty cool because it takes you, what was it in the last movie? That big giant, was it the big giant?
The giant.
The giant in the forest where it was like, and you actually felt bad for it. Didn't it cry or something?
Oh, it's Groppy.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Hagrid's and you, brother.
They do that in Hagrid, all of these movies where they'll take something that you're supposed to be, you know, grossed out by or afraid of and then make you realize, you know, things aren't always what they appear. And I think that's a little aside from like, you know, the overall story that you guys love. Those are the little things that I like throughout these movies, which really shows that it is meant for kids. And it's a great thing to raise your kids on, which I know, you know, my brother-in-law, he's been telling me about these movies since the early 2000s. We went camping in like 2002 and he's like, you got to read these books to your kids. And I was like,
but there's a lot of positive messaging in all of them for kids.
Yeah, no doubt. I can't wait to read
Joe,
them.
Joe, are you reading them to your daughter yet?
No, not yet. She's, you know, we're still reading Dragon Loves Tacos and, you know, but we'll get there. I'm waiting. I think I was in fifth grade when my old man gave me a copy of The Hobbit. So I'll probably start. I think, my niece was in fourth grade when I gave her my first copy of Harry Potter to read, and she's been reading them now, and which has been a ton of fun because it's the fun part about this, like listening to this podcast that you guys have been doing, is I know how it ends. And then when I listen to like DJs, I'm like, oh, but just, you gotta read the book, you know?
Just wait,
cause this is coming. Cause you're like, well, I don't know about this and this, that. I'm like, you find out, keep watching, keep reading. And so I'm doing that with my niece right now. So I can't wait until I can read this with Swaggins. She's into Pokemon right now, so she's starting to gravitate towards the things that I like, which is awesome. So I'm hoping that'll continue.
Oh, I'm sure it will. Yeah. I'm sure it will. I think my brother-in-law started reading to his kids when they were really young.
Yeah.
And he would just read a chapter before bed or something like that, didn't he, Meg?
Uncle yeah, Robbie? They've been reading. So there's three kids. So the oldest, she was probably in like third grade when they started.
Yeah, my daughter's only three and a half, so.
But the youngest must have been around that age, because what is he, five now?
He's five now, and they've been reading to him along with the other two.
Huh. Maybe he was an infant when they started reading them, though.
You don't know what his understanding is. Right, he's just hearing it.
The oldest two, though, dressed up as like Harry Potter characters for Halloween, and he dressed up as the Hogwarts Express.
Oh, that's true.
Because he really likes trains.
Yeah.
So, but he loves that. Like, that's what he likes. That's what he gets from these stories right now is awesome. Hogwarts Express.
It's the train.
So.
Right. He's getting more than I am. All right. Thus far into this, we're six movies in. Obviously, you guys know the ends. But what does all of this mean? What is it like? How? Talk me into it. What am I missing?
Well, this movie really related to this podcast.
Really?
Because someone, I don't remember who, but I wrote it down at the end of the movie. Someone said, you can't have the light without the dark in this movie. Like, you can't. And that was like a prevailing theme throughout the whole movie is there has to be some dark and there has to be some light. And it's those battling forces. And I actually just now thought of Snape is kind of a really good middle ground of that, and that he is like constantly these two battling forces, and you go through the movies feeling like, is he good? Is he bad? Is there a whole overriding plot about this? Like, he's been good the whole time. He's been bad the whole time, but really I think he's just always struggling and he's always battling with himself against the light and the dark. And like, that's what you see. And same thing with Harry. So I really feel like that started to come out in this movie because there was so much dark, but you still had the light. You still had the people pulling through, and you still had like, you had a lot of dark with like Dumbledore's death we saw. And we saw Draco Malfoy, who's always been dark, start to kind of get pulled a little bit by the light. And he's struggling with his new role and job. And it really related, I felt.
Yeah, I mean, it was
balance. Yeah,
it was sort of like when I was doing just the opposite last week, right? When I was defending Lord of the Rings against Harry Potter, I mean, the same thing still applies with Harry Potter that does with Lord of the Rings. It's a story about perseverance. It's a story about inner conflict, overcoming that inner conflict, and it's a story about love, right? The love of Harry. And, you know, for his parents that, you know, he's never met, but they're still a massive part of his life. And they're going to, you know, they play a role, you know, in everything, you know, that he does. This inner conflict of Harry of, am I like him? Can I be just as bad as he is? And because part of, you know, Voldemort is, you know, in Harry. And so there's that inner conflict with him. These inner conflicts that you see with all these other characters where some start to waver from good to bad, bad to good. And it's just that tale that's as old as time of you want to see good overcome evil. How does that happen? And the twists and turns that occur along the way. And, I think that really comes to fruition and light with the last two movies and especially in the books.
Yeah. I really can't articulate it any better than these guys just did. I mean, I think they said it all. So.
Well, okay. So
I don't have anything else to add. So,
well, what I would like to add is like, and here's one of the things that why I would prefer, or I love the Lord of the Rings movies, watch them pretty much every year. So Dr. Joe, what you just said was, it was great. It was like the perseverance. And I think you actually used this in your argument where Lord of the Rings is a story. It's an adventure. It's a perseverance of something that somebody, you know, Frodo didn't have to go through that. Sam didn't have to do that. You gravitate towards Sam because he was such a hero in that because he lifted Frodo up, but he could have at any point run away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The thing with Harry Potter is there's a lot of like, you know, it's very analogous to growing up.
Yep.
And that was used against you in the argument is like a lot of this is like what you were just saying is a child turning into a teen and then into an adult. And those are very uncertain years.
Yep.
For multiple reasons that you think you're the only one in the world that's ever gone through this. You think that you don't know what's on the other side. Am I going to be the man I'm supposed to be or woman? Or in some cases, what am I? And there's a lot of questions that you have going through life. And that's what's going on in this movie. Add in the, you know, you also get that good and evil part to the story, but some of that is completely unavoidable.
Yep.
So that's part of it that doesn't necessarily grab me. And it's like, and I see why it does grab you guys, especially if you're younger at the time getting into these, because maybe you've just gone through it or you're in the midst of going through that. So you can, these characters will resonate with you. And even in your debate last week about Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter, I don't think it was a coincidence that the two older people in the debate lean towards Lord of the Rings and the younger people lean towards Harry Potter because they really grew up on Harry Potter.
Right.
So they have a much stronger attachment to it from their youth. Their formative years were around this where that's a lot harder for you and Nick because you're older than them.
Right.
So it's, I understand what you're saying, but I also think that like, that's what's great about the movie. And I think that's what grabs a lot of people. But for me right now, it's, I'm just like watching Harry go through all these question marks about, am I going to be this? Am I going to be that? It's really kind of like, it's just something that everybody goes through. Whereas Sam and Frodo, they were heroes.
Right.
Well, and they didn't have to do what they did.
Right. And
well, I mean, I don't think, I mean, Harry doesn't have to do what he does either.
Right.
Right? Like, he could just bury his head in the sand and let the chips fall where they may, you know? I mean, I think he's a hero. To say he's not a hero also, I think, is wrong. Because, like, he doesn't have to do what he does. Like, if he just disappears and goes and hides under a rock, Voldemort's not going to really go looking for him if he's not interfering with his plans. Like, I think he definitely steps up and says, look, yes, I have all these questions and my doubts, but...
Right.
Like, I gotta do the right thing. Like, I have to stand up for what's right, and look, I might not come through the, I might not come out the other side of this, but I'm gonna do what I have to do, you know, to try to make sure this stuff doesn't come to pass.
So. And that definitely comes up in the next movie, right? You know, he is given a choice, and he makes the decision that he makes, but, I mean, at any given time, he could just, poof, disappear, and just,
right.
So I mean Harry is a hero. He's it's not in the same vein as other characters that are, you know, that we've read you know and watched. But I would agree with John. He's definitely a hero.
And honestly, I think Hermione and Ron are your Sam, right?
Yeah.
Like they're doing the same thing for Harry as what you just said Sam does for Frodo. Like they don't have to be involved either. Even at the
right.
end of this movie when Harry says, you know, I'm not coming back to school. I'm going to go do what I need to do. And
right.
you guys have a good year. And Hermione says, well, you know, how stupid are you? You know, like
yeah.
we're coming with you. So that, like
yep.
I said, they're Sam for him. So, I mean, they're heroes as well, I think, because they also don't have to be there.
Right.
And they're literally like Voldemort might say in the back of my mind, well, I don't know where Harry is, but I still got to go kill him. He's not looking for Ron and Hermione ever.
Right.
So they could literally disappear and be
Hermione
fine.
Could go live with her parents, the dentists, and be fine.
Right.
She just
they could go live.
Just forget
she can go
about
to the
it.
Other, she can go to the other school where all the other wizards don't care about Voldemort or what's going on. They just
right.
want to have games
right.
like we talked about in the two movies ago. They can all go live there.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's definitely a good point. You know, because I mean, Sam to me is Sam, and no one can hold a candle to him. But Hermione and Ron, I mean, they are to the best of their abilities. They do carry Harry, because I don't know, Harry probably doesn't get out of the room in the first movie with the freaking keys. If not for with Hermione and Sam, just as you know, Frodo doesn't make it past Farmer Maggot's crops without Sam at the beginning of Lord of the Rings. So,
exactly,
yeah, they all play their parts, and they all play their parts really well.
I agree with what you're saying, John. I just think that up until this point, a lot of the situations have happened to Harry in a way. You know what I mean? Like it's not like he ran to the fire; it's the fire happened to him, and he put it out.
Well, maybe that's why Dr. Right. Joe feels like you'll change your mind in the next two movies, because you've been right. set up to know he's running to the fire now. And that's why right. I feel like when I watched this the first time, at the end of the movie, I wanted to watch the next ones, because I was like, he's going now. He's right. going to find these things.
You're right. And John, to your point about Hermione and Ron being the Sam, it really wasn't, I mean, they were always there for him, but it was at the end when they're like, we're going with you. It's taken six movies to get to the quest for all intents and purposes, right? It's a lot of world building. I said this to you the other night, Meg. It's been a lot of world building. It's been
time
a lot
change.
Of
change.
And he says he can't relate to Harry and Ron.
Right? I know, right?
Finally at 50. Yeah. Woo. Anyways, where was I? Oh yeah,
waiting
going
for the
puberty.
Other ball to drop. I'm sorry, I couldn't let it pass. I was like squirming here for a minute, trying to decide if I was going to say it or not. But
yeah, it's okay. My daughter's a nurse.
She knows.
She knows.
Yeah, I don't know. Now I've all lost my train of thought. We've got. All right. So,
yeah. Rewind. So what were you talking about?
World building.
World building. Yeah, it's been a lot of world building. Six movies to get to this point. Like I said, it's not like they aren't without action. I think the first two are a little less, but
I think we've been saying it all. They all ratchet up. Each one ratchets up as it goes along. You know, because I felt like the last two movies were dull. You know, like I don't know to say they were boring, but like I felt like they were slower, much slower than like these last three movies are going to be.
Oh, the next two even ramp up more?
Oh yeah, I mean it's
the end. It's it's kind of what everything's been building towards. You know, you get your final battles. You know, you get all that stuff that happens at the end of the movie. That you would expect. So,
and it starts off with a bang.
Definitely a lot more.
Yeah, it starts off with a bang right out of the chute. Boom. And then it really just kind of keeps its foot, you know, on the gas pedal the entire two movies.
So does anybody have anything else before we get to our rankings?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Read the books.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're six in. So leaving the last two off. Dr. Joe, you go first. This is your first time here. So where do you rank this in your Harry Potter movies? I think you said at the beginning, it's like your second favorite?
So it's my second favorite overall, but since we're not counting the last movie yet, I would put this number one. And then I'd probably put Prisoner of Azkaban number two. And then I'd put Goblet of Fire three, Order of the Phoenix, and then two than one. You can flip-flop those two for me. I mean, to me, the first two
kind of like Star Wars.
Yeah. You know, the first two movies don't really age well, and I mean, they're both good movies, but the only way I rewatch those again is when I watch them with my daughter when she watches them for the first time. But if any of these other movies are on, yeah, I will watch them, but I would go six, three, four, five, say two, then one.
All right. And actually, I meant to ask you this earlier. Did you see all these in the theater?
I did see, and I probably saw movies three on all at midnight showings.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Those,
yeah, we didn't see any of them.
That was when I was young and I could still sit through a midnight showing. Yeah. Not so much anymore.
When they still allow
now the midnight showings are at 6 p.m.
Yeah,
right. So
they're not even they're made for the old guys. Anymore.
We're eating off the senior menu and watching our movies.
6 p.m. on a Wednesday, right? Instead of not even Thursdays anymore.
Having dinner at 4, going to see the movie at 6.
Gonna go hit Sizzler.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm in my pajamas by 8:30 and, you know.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I was doing midnight showings all the way till my 40s with the kids.
I mean, easily. I did it for
everything. Anything we could do.
All the Star Wars movies.
All the Twilights.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, I did it for Force Awakens. And then they started doing them. I think after that is when they started backing them off to like 7 p.m. and 6 p.m.
No, that's more recent. Within the last 10 years, they changed that. Definitely.
Actually,
Force Awakens was in 2015.
Oh, Force Awakens. Yeah, you're right. I was saying, for some reason,
But I think that's the last midnight one that I remember seeing. After that, they all kind of started going to like 5 or 6 p.m. Hell, I think one premiere, I think Black Panther, I saw it like 3:30. I mean, it was like really early.
Yeah. So, Meg, where do you rank this one?
I think probably my second to favorite so far.
So far, what's your favorite covered. So far?
Order of the Phoenix.
Order of Phoenix is your favorite. This is number two.
Yes. This is number two. Then I would say, five, six, three, Prisoner of Azkaban, four, Goblet of Fire, one, Sorcerer's Stone, and then two, Chamber of Secrets. I really don't like the Chamber of Secrets. I really don't.
Yeah.
I would never watch that one again.
Doesn't hold up.
Rewatch it. I would skip over it. But yeah, I thought this was a good one.
John?
All right. Well, I don't know the names of any of these. So,
the trash can of secrets.
Out of the six, out of the six we've watched, though, this is number two for me. My favorite one is the time travel one, whichever
Azkaban
movie that was.
Azkaban.
Yeah. So Azkaban's my favorite one out of what we've watched so far. This would be number two. Yeah. And then everything else is four through six. Like I don't have them ordered really. Because I don't remember which one was which, like you
That's
guys
what
do.
I'm having trouble with.
But I liked The Prisoner of Azkaban, I think, is my favorite so far.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. And this, I don't know. I don't like this. I don't know. I think I've got to do it again.
It's all going to switch after the last two movies.
Yeah.
At least
for
me, like those are the best two.
Yeah.
But. Right.
I feel like you liked Four, Dad. I feel like that was your favorite. The Goblet of
what
Fire.
What was the name of that one?
Goblet of Fire. That was the one with...
the dragons
well,
in the
tournament.
That
was the one where I think
Cedric
I started...
And-
yeah, so that's like my third, I guess my third favorite.
Yeah, that's probably my second, I would say. And maybe on my first, I don't know. Because I think that's... I like that one because I started figuring things out a little bit better.
Yeah.
So yeah, so what do I have? 3, 6, 4, 5, 1, 2, I guess, would be my order.
Yeah, those just don't hold up. They just...
No, they don't. I mean, they were...
Well, they're little tiny kids in one.
Right.
Two is super slow, and then it starts to kind of, like, get good.
Well, and three is when they change directors, so, and then...
Change Dumbledores.
Well, yeah, that's because...
That didn't make it better or worse, but... Yeah, well, that didn't make it better or worse.
Although I think Michael Gambon...
The whole kind of thing changed with the third movie. Everything changed.
And then they had this. They've had the same director, I think, from four on.
David Yates, right?
Yep,
I think.
And then the guy that directed Prisoner of Azkaban just won an Oscar for best director last year, I think.
Oh, really?
I think so. Last year or the year before, I can't remember.
Yeah,
what
but
it
not
was.
For Harry Potter.
No,
not for Harry Potter,
but in general, which is which is cool. But yeah, David Yates did the whole thing from four on, and I thought he did a good job. Like I said, I wish I went into. I remember seeing Half-Blood Prince at midnight, and I was so geeked up for it because the way they cut the trailers made it seem like okay. And just walking out, being like, "Yeah, I liked it," but damn, I wish they just had more.
Wanted more.
More of that backstory, like I was saying earlier.
Yeah.
All these little things, because Voldemort, he's your big bad, right? But why? Right. And this book gave you. Why and it gave you
I still don't think you ever know really through the movies
yeah
even at the end
yeah
you know
just, no you don't
he's just the bad guy
yeah And this gives you all that meat and potatoes as to why, and goes into the history, you know, of just sort of the world a little bit more. And so I remember just saying, damn it, give me 30 minutes more of this movie, and I'd have been happy if they had, you know, because there were some things they added in this movie that they didn't need to, and they could have put it there, but, you know, it's J.K. Rowling told her story, and David Yates wanted to tell his, and he still did a bang-up job, but they did a lot better job adapting the book, Deathly Hallows, because they split it over two movies, so they were able to really get more of that in there. So that was a much more enjoyable movie for me, and you guys will, you know, see that when you watch it.
Do you think that has anything to do with contracts of the actors? Like, are they signed on for eight movies, so maybe they couldn't divide this one out?
So to me, I'm a bit of a cynic. Harry Potter. I think Twilight was the first series to split the last book into two movies, right? And then,
yeah, I don't think they had ever thought of doing that before.
They did it, and then it wasn't too long after that that they announced Harry Potter was going to do the same thing. And so I don't think they did it because they wanted to tell the whole story. I think they did it because, hey, we could turn this into two blockbuster movies instead of one and make a ton of cash.
It's all about the money.
Language. And so, and that seems to, and that was very popular for a period of time. They did that with a bunch of movies. They did it with Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they did it with Twilight. They did it with Harry Potter. And they did it with a bunch of movies right around the same time. And then you don't see like they've done that too much anymore. But they've followed Twilight.
No, but I think, the notion of doing that when they made the sixth movie just wasn't something they would consider.
Right. Exactly.
Because nobody had done it before.
Exactly.
But like
Harry
you said,
Potter
to your point
did it
with
first.
The,
did they do it first?
Harry Potter did it before Twilight, yeah.
Okay.
I just looked it up because I remembered when Twilight did it. I remembered people saying, oh, they're just doing it because Harry Potter did it.
So I had it backwards, but yeah.
Breaking Dawn Part 1 didn't come out till 2011.
Okay.
And Deathly Hallows Part 2 came out in 2011. Gotcha. So that was the second one.
So they might have been announced that they were doing it at the same time, but one just came out, you know, before the other.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, but I remember those two just being like, that was the first time you're like, what, you're gonna make me wait a year now?
Right. And then they turned The Hobbit into three movies,
which was a crying shame.
Yeah, because it's a 200 page book.
I could see two movies out of that, but not three.
Right. Each one of the Lord of the Rings books were three times bigger than The Hobbit.
Yeah.
And they got one movie
exactly.
each.
Exactly.
But a great special edition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On each.
Yeah.
All right. Is that all we have?
Yeah. That's all I got.
I think so.
All right. Dr. Joe, are you coming back for the last two?
If you'll have me, I'll be there.
Because this is great. We're social distancing and down here at Arkham Comics and Games, keeping up the ruse.
Yep. Make sure you buy something on the way out.
But no, this has been fun.
Yeah.
This has been a lot of fun.
So will you split it up into two episodes, or will you just do it all in one encompassing?
The last two movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do two.
Yeah, we're doing two episodes.
Content,
we're actually going to do four.
Yeah.
We're going to do four. We're going to do two episodes for each.
Yeah. We're gonna hobbit this thing. Yeah. We're going to do 17 shows on the last two movies.
Hey, no, if you'll have me, I'll be there.
I think we won't, because Meg goes back to school, so we'll probably won't be doing another Harry Potter till like Thanksgiving.
Oh, perfect. Gives me plenty of time to read.
And then, you know, honestly, we have to have five people for that one. So I don't know how you're going to figure that out.
Why?
Well, we have to top. I mean, we had four for this one, so.
Oh, we're at a limit on this.
We have to trying to top ourselves. There's just too many people in the chat.
We have to jump in the kitchen. We have to jump the shark with the next one.
Well, if we do it after Thanksgiving, I might be the size of two people. So, you know, that might work.
Right.
Oh, all right. That'll do it for our Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Did I get that right?
Sure did.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. See? I've been practicing all day. Make sure I got that right. Hey, let us know what you thought of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. I'm sure you're with the other 75% of this podcast, but the better 75%. But let us know on Twitter at brightside_chat. You can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. Check us out at the Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. And please go on iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe. And Dr. Joe, where can everybody find you?
People can find me on Twitter at Dr. Joe Gilmore. And you can also find me on Twitch at @backcracker_Dr. Joe. And I'm part of the Dork Shared Gooniverse on Facebook, so you can find me there.
Awesome. Meg is my daughter.
You can find me up in my room.
You can find me anywhere.
Buried in a
I'm
book.
Everywhere.
All right. Thanks, guys. That was great. John and I will be back on Thursday with a whole bunch of comic books and maybe some more DC news. Who knows? Ooh. They're always doing something.
It'll be after Friday, so I'm sure something else will come out.
All right. Have a great week, everybody. See you soon.
Take care.
Bye.
Hey, Fred.